League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I'm your host, Jody Sweeten, along with my lovely co-host,
Celia Behar. Are we going to call me lovely today? Because I have a cold sore. I just want everyone to know it, because I'm just at the point where I'm going to out that shit.
Isn't she lovely? Yeah, you're so lovely. Look it. You're rocking the cold sore. I can't see it.
That's because I have a giant zit
on my forehead, so it's fine.
I love that we have guests and we just started by outing our bullshit right away. Just because, you know. Why not?
You got to stay on brand. I mean, that's the thing. And our brand is
shit.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's just disorganized like our brains and our children.
It's being real and raw and honest and cold sorry. That's what.
Yeah, there you go. With that being said, I'd love to introduce our guests this week. We have the amazing Shannon Kenny Carbonell and Nestor Carbonell. You guys might know Nestor from the series Lost. Shannon Kenny, she's also wrote an amazing book called All Is Not Lost. And we are so excited to have them on the podcast today. It's always fun when we get, couples, mom, dad, two perspectives. I love when we have them. So welcome, you guys. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. We can laugh now.
You could have laughed before.
My girls right there.
Bloody voices are fine.
Yeah. I love that for the first time, I feel like ever that we've had guests on, we don't really have to ask, like, what's your never thought I'd say this moment? Because Shannon, you wrote a whole book about it. I'm like, yes.
I never thought I'd fail this badly. I had a book about it.
We are big friends of failure. My wall. Yeah.
Well, so we can jump right into, hold on. Before we jump right into it, I have to tell you both that my oldest daughter is so mad at me that this is a week that she's not here because she wanted to be able to listen to this episode so badly because she watched Lost. I went back and rewatched the whole thing with her. And so she was just like obsessed. And she was like, oh, I want to hear what it's like being married to someone that was on Lost and what happened at marriage. Like, I was like, oh, guess you'll have to listen to my show. And she goes, I don't want to do that.
I'll be underwhelmed.
Yeah,
anyway,
sorely disappointed, I'm sure.
Right.
We forward it when he's on it anyway.
Shannon was so, she was such a huge fan of Lost. And as soon as I got a cast on it, she's like, oh no, you're going to wreck it for me now. I mean,
well, I really was a huge fan of Lost.
And you did, I hope.
I did wreck it, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because their son was too young at the time. Sorry, dog.
Familiar.
Yeah,
don't worry.
He was too young at the time to really watch it. So he went back and watched it as he got older. And he was absolutely intrigued until Nestor came on and then he stopped watching it.
Yeah.
It just pulled him
out of it. Do not like watching me, like, they're really generally unimpressed. I'm like, oh, you guys gonna want, they're like, I don't care, no, it's fine, it's not really my thing. I'm like, oh, cool.
I'm sure Jody, you're the same. We pull them out of the thing. It's like, oh, it's dad again, or it's mom, you know. It's like,
yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, I know you wouldn't say that, or you know, or they're just generally embarrassed that like their parent is getting attention because you know, children, I have two girls. Zoe, who is almost 13. Oh my God. I can't believe that's happening. And my younger one, Beatrix, is 10 and a half. So yeah, basically my existence at this point is just embarrassing because children like to think they just hatched at this age and they have no parental units. So my mom used to say, she was like, you guys just want to like hatch and just come from nowhere. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, you're like embarrassing.
That time where they want nothing to do with you and they won't cuddle you anymore. And that's a hard time, I think.
Well, since she gave parenting stats, I also have two girls. I have Harper. She's 14. And yep, that's where I'm at there too. And then I have Lulu and she's almost 10. What, tell us your parenting stats so we know.
So you have girl energy.
Oh
so
yeah.
We have Rafa who's at college and he is almost 19. Wow. And Marco is almost 15
he's almost 16. Yeah.
Oh geez. Yeah. He's almost 16.
We've done that. We've done it on the show.
That's the dog.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, she's okay now.
But so yeah,
boy energy. Got it.
Okay, but you guys picked the best names. We have Harper.
Yeah.
Beatrix, where did you get that?
Beatrix actually came about, my ex, her dad and I, he's a huge Beatles fan and a musician. And, I wanted something kind of fun and different and girly, but like a little old school. And so, Beatrix just, it came about and I was like, yeah, I like that. So we call her B, but yeah, it's Beatrix. And then, her middle name is Carlin after George Carlin. So,
Beatrix Potter.
Yeah.
She's Australian. I think I'm Australian. So
I believe Beatrix Potter was British.
Yeah. Okay.
I have all the little books up there, The Tale of Pigling Bland, or I don't know, all those weird books. And then Zoe, which I completely cursed her because I spell her name Zoie. So no one will ever spell it correctly and she'll have to correct it the rest of her life.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We named our kids so they could get laid.
No, that's Shannon. Shannon.
You know what? Eventually, right? You're like, you know, we should give our kids a name that's like somewhat intriguing.
I never thought about that.
You know, like, hi, I'm Timmy. It's like,
Nothing wrong with Timmy. Nothing wrong with Timmy. But nobody meets in bars anymore. But it doesn't matter. It's still, the name still carries some weight.
Yeah. Hey, online dating, they're going to swipe on that over, you know, a Timmy.
And we just lost all four of our Timmys.
All the Timmys.
Sorry, Timmys.
Sorry.
A good friend.
Shannon, Nestor, I'd love to hear your never thought I'd say this. I know a lot of it has to do with Shannon, your book that you wrote, All Is Not Lost. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and kind of the never thought I'd say this moment that happened for you?
Okay. Well, I really never thought I'd say I have written a book pretty much based on my giving up on my dreams.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that that's about, because you were an actress as well.
Yeah.
And then when you became a mom, or was it before you became a mom, or when you became a mom, you decided it was time to leave?
When? And it was after my second child was born, actually. In fact, he was in my stomach the last time I was in front of a camera. And it was fading. Almost like my libido. I was losing my libido for acting.
Yeah.
That was like everything for me though before that. I came to this country to go to theater school. And, but once I had kids, I don't know. It was also a practical decision for the both of us.
Right.
Because Nestor, we met on a show.
Oh, what show did you meet on?
We had a show called Muscle, which was the first lineup, one of the first shows on the lineup that launched the WB.
Okay. I remember when Full House got canceled, the WB was just starting and there was like talk that we were going to move there and all this stuff. And
I feel like that was Channel 5. Was it Channel 5?
Yeah, it was Channel 5. Here in LA, it was Channel 5, WB. Had the weird little dancing frog, the whole thing.
That's right, the frog. So we started together, and as young actors, we we were dating 7 years.
Right.
And then really into our careers. And we even, you know, that's when the industry started to move out of LA too.
Right. Slowly.
And then, so by the time we had our first child, it was really starting to move. And then with our second child, Nestor was all around and his career was really picking up speed.
Right.
And so it was really a choice of, I was really drawn to being with my kids first.
Yeah.
That was just a decision for me. And like in the book, I don't get into any of the mommy wars or anything because I believe it's a hard decision either way.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
It is. And I actually had this conversation the other day. Celia and I were out with some friends and I was talking with my friend Eva. And, you know, she was talking about, she's been at home with her, you know, 2.5 and 5-year-old. And it's been really hard because she's like, I liked being a working mom. Like I liked having that independence and coming home and being mom, and mom is always the first thing. But it, you know, full-time mom, she's like, that wasn't my plan. And, you know, and I get that. And I think there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no, it's,
exactly. You know.
So, Celia, we have talked about this program before. The Homer program, the Essential Early Learning Program for kids 2 to 8. And you know how I love it.
It's pretty great.
It's so awesome. Look, right now we have all had a crash course in distance learning and supplemental learning and trying to figure out ways to keep our kids entertained while they are not at school.
I sure have.
Or to try to keep them entertained while they are in school and actually get them to participate. Well, Homer, this early learning program for kids 2 to 8, it takes kids on a learning journey personalized to their age, interests, and learning level, which help boost their confidence, and it grows with them as they build skills for school and life. So this has been really, really, really helpful for parents who have preschool age kids or kindergarten age kids who are afraid that, you know, they might not be getting the same sort of educational experience that they would at preschool or in kindergarten or even up through, you know, second, third, fourth grade.
Yeah.
Homer does that. And they've got two engaging ways to learn with their program. The first is the Learn and Grow app, which we all know where we can get apps at the App Store, and it builds skills across multiple subjects through thousands of activities that kids love. Also available are the Homer Explore kits, which take the impact of their digital learning program and enhance it with the power of hands-on play, giving kids opportunities to deepen skills that they're learning in the app through real-life practice and pretend to play.
Oh, love that.
So there's two ways to do it. You can just do the app, or you can do the app and supplement with the Explore kits to get them doing some hands-on stuff related to what they're learning in the app. It's personalized. That's one of the best things that I love about it. It engages with your child at where your kid is, at their skill level, their age, their interests. I mean, you can pick from Thomas the Train, Angelina Ballerina, all these fun characters, especially that younger kids love, to really help get them engaged with learning and reading. And the best part is, it's not just reading, math, the basics. It's stuff like social, emotional learning, creativity, and thinking skills.
Oh, so important.
Exactly. Those are the things that are so vital to kids. And this app covers them all. It's research-backed. It's powered by the Homer method, which has been found as one of the most effective ways for your child to learn. It's expert designed, and the Learn and Grow app is proven to increase reading scores by, get this, 74% with just 15 minutes a day.
I think I need that.
Right? I feel like I definitely have not been reading enough. I need to go back and build my skills and my confidence, because that's another thing that Homer does. It builds confidence through skills that kids are proud of and parents can see. Did your little one learn how to trace letters, master number operations? You know, we call these I did it moments, and they want you to be able to share those, you know, with your kid's audience, so you can follow along with them and they can share those moments with you as they're doing them in the app. It's
amazing.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the greatest supplements to at-home learning right now. And it really is a wonderful app. And if our listeners also want to check out the Homer app and the Homer Learn and Grow at Home kits, you can visit learnwithhomer.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial. That's learnwithhomer.com, H-O-M-E-R, learnwithhomer.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial.
I'm going to start one right now and improve my own reading skills.
I admire stay-at-home moms because I don't know, you know, I don't know that that would necessarily be what I would want to do, but I know that it's because my patients would probably run so thin. Yep. That I'd,
Yeah. Because for me, that was my instinct. And, but as soon as I did it, as soon as I, when it's in the book, I went to my manager's office and I quit. It was like almost immediately I lost my identity. So tied up in being an actor.
And
I felt very, I didn't know who I was, but I felt that I became at war with my ego and my ambition.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with that because I felt guilty. I felt like I'm meant to lead these kids, but I don't know where I'm going anymore. I'm like, I'm lost, you know?
Yeah.
And
there you have it. Nestor, did you know that was happening? Like, did you see it and did it affect your marriage? Do you feel like?
I did know. I didn't know the depth of it. I knew what she was struggling with. I knew it was a tough decision. And yet Shannon was an amazing mom. She never let that show, you know, I never saw it with the kid. You were so amazing with the kids. The one thing you did talk about in the book as well is that is this other side of it, which is the guilt you felt for feeling like the kids aren't enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm
absolutely. I get that. I think every mom feels that.
I could imagine, and also the notion that oh my God, there's so many women who can't be moms. So that other guilt as well. It's like how dare you? And how, in your words, how dare I make a peep? Like there's women who would kill to be a mom. I have two kids, and I feel awful about the situation. But there was a cavity in your body that was made by that decision. Of leaving behind. I mean, when I met Shannon, acting was everything, you know,
it was too much. I had been the little girl who set myself up to want to be famous. Mm-hmm. Really. I never told my parents really. It's like, I just had it in my head that I had this, like I would even do, I don't want to give the book away. I was like ritualizing and everything. It was really, it was really crazy.
Trust me, there, on this show, that is the least crazy thing anyone has ever said.
Pretty much.
So, give us 10 more minutes, we'll get to crazy. But that sounds...
That sounds about right.
I'm like pretending I was a witch and seeing who would look at me. It's just so
my God, I love that.
I'm so in it. I'm in it. Yes. Tell me more. How did you do it? I want to do it.
Right?
I'm not going to lie. I have cleared my house with like a coven of friends and we've sprinkled salt in the corners. And
I was there.
So I'm not completely judging you at all because I too am like, you know what? I mean, it can't hurt, right?
I saged her house with her. And
We were ringing bells and particular things and saying
things. And
because of Bewitched. Don't you think maybe a little bit?
Oh, I loved
it. I can't tell you how long I tried to wiggle my nose.
I don't know. It was just wanting to be seen, I think, wanting to.
Yeah.
And none of my other girlfriends had this ailment. I don't know why I suffered from it, but I really wanted that. But at the same time, like my dad was he stressed education. So thank God I came to go to school. So I did for 4 years, but then you get even more wrapped up in wanting to be an actor.
Yeah.
All you're talking about is acting and, and then it's so exciting too. And so I did, I thank God I learned how to be an actor, but it was still that drive in me and it never goes away. Even though you try to talk yourself out of it, it just never went away from me.
Yeah.
So giving it up was really, it kind of played into all of my shame, the shame of wanting it in the first place, then the shame of failing. And then another big part of my shame is also that I didn't make it the way I wanted to. And that caused me to be an actor for hire, which didn't let me even make my own decisions. I felt like I was so powerless. I became really powerless.
Right.
And I felt so bad about it. And then I felt like this is the thing that makes me, I don't know, I get a bit emotional. Yeah. Like I just couldn't give Nestor what he deserved.
I totally did.
No, I really feel like I didn't.
No.
I tried.
No.
But
what do you mean by that? By being like a
I don't know. I had
manager.
I had resentment. So we never really even, it wasn't like, I hate you. Asshole,
right?
Yeah. The Star Is Born.
I remember it differently, but that's okay.
I do remember Asshole.
That happens a lot, but it wasn't because of
you. Fair enough.
It was just hard. It was just really hard. You know, you come home and I'd had a day with the kids, and I know how sometimes it's so much fun on a set. And
it is.
You know how much fun it is when you're with other actors and you're doing this stuff.
This business is addictive in a big way. You know, it's once you do it, you're like, this is when I feel most alive.
You do. And you're part of a crew and you're cogging that wheel. And then it can be really like actors can be really magical people and the crew too. And the writers.
Yeah.
And then I felt so guilty, but I also felt guilty because not many people get to be stay at home moms. I'm like, I'm an asshole. I'm a total privileged bitch. Right? I feel all this stuff. And who am I? You know, it was a really weird, hard time.
I think that often, I mean, I really do feel like that happens to women when they have children is, you know, and I think it's different than it is. I think it's really different than it is for men because there's this, you know, we were talking about before we really started recording was this like judgment of, am I right? Am I wrong? Which is better? Which is not? You know, and it's all this outside external bullshit, you know what I mean? That we have taken in and absorbed into our self and our ego and our psyche of who we're, you know, quote unquote, supposed to be.
Right.
And it's, there's no, you know, I think as women often put ourselves in a position and as moms, there's no winning. There's no winning. I go to work, I'm a shitty mom because I'm not home all day. I stay home, I'm a shitty mom because I'm not showing them that I can go out and work and do everything. Right. Like somehow we were supposed to do everything or nothing, but they're both not great options because you feel guilty. Like it's so much. It's so much and it's so layered and it's so internal.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And when you become a mom, that like it does, it shifts your entire world, your entire perspective and thought of self.
Yeah.
In a big, big way. And I love that you addressed that in the book.
Yeah, me too. And I relate to you so much, Shannon, because I was an actress before I went back to grad school. I have an undergrad degree in theater too. It's really done a lot for me. I'm super psyched. I paid off all those. And my husband at the time was an actor. And so I stopped also because I was like, well, we want to have kids. It was before I had kids. I was like, we want to have kids. We're going to have kids. You should keep going. Women have a shorter shelf life. I'm going to go back to grad school. And I went and became a therapist. And then after we had kids, I actually went back part-time. So I was at work every other day. And so I definitely saw it from both sides. And it was like the days I had to leave my kid, I was super sad. And then the days that I was with her, I was like, this is so much harder than my actual job. Those were my days off when I went to work with at-risk youth that weren't mine. Like I felt so much better, but I would struggle with that guilt and that resentment that you're talking about. You know, he's doing plays and he was, you know, helping run a theater at the time. And I would be home with the kids and he would walk in the door and, you know, I could tell he'd had a great day and he's like stopping to take his shoes off. And I would look at him holding a crying baby, like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, you better take this kid.
Right.
Like all the like
over at dog now sometimes, you know?
Right? I'm like, ooh, like I vomited my hair and she's beating me the whole day. And like, you got to have fun, you know, like I was like furious. So I also do want to say as I'm going to be therapy for a second, like the fact, Nestor, that when you started talking at one point, you stopped addressing us, turned to her, and you were like, you were great, not she. Like, I just right away was like, oh, they're a couple that communicates. And
yeah,
you already are, you know, you heard her.
And we fight too. Oh, poor
Nestor. Thank God.
As we do.
It's a bad room.
No.
You have to fight. Sometimes that's fine. And that's, you know, but that honestly was one of the biggest reasons that my marriage, I think, didn't survive, was that he could not see how that, what the loss of self, the loss of the dream, the loss of like, and as a mom in general, like for all moms, and Jody and I talk about this all the time, you go from being like, I'm like cute and sexy to like, oh, my tits leak now. And Dinah's different. Like, everything's so, you know, you're like, I'm not sexy anymore. I'm just gross. Right. And then when you do feel sexy, you're like, I can't feel sexy. I'm a mom. I'm not supposed to. That's weird. Like, it's so such a catch 22.
Oh, it's terrible. I know. I still think of myself as that like 19-year-old actress. Yeah.
Right.
Me too. I'm not 19 anymore. I'll tell you that.
No, it's terrible. But our kids were at a K-12 school. So I'm dropping my older one off at school, you know, first, second grade. And there's like 12th graders. So you go around the loop and you see all the 12th graders. And I said to Nestor, none of them are checking me out.
And everyone was like, wait, what?
Van, and they don't see me.
Right. I'm supposed to be the MILF. Damn it.
Yep. That's
so wrong. Now I know my kid is a 12th grader. I'm like, what? Who was I? It's terrible.
But it is. Going back to you, Celia, what you're saying, it is being a mom is essentially, in a sense, thankless work. No one thanks you for it. You know, and you go to work and, you know, whether it's, you know, doing therapy or whether it's on a set, you're getting praised most of the time, you know.
Right. Well, especially on a set, my God, it's like, what can I get you? What can I do? What can I, you know?
It's ridiculous. So you're doing like, I remember you were telling me, Shannon, you know, you're playing Baby Cats with Marco and you're like, I'm about to shoot myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if I have to watch Barney one more fucking time, I swear to God.
Yeah. Mind-numbing work. And I know because, you know, actors, we have downtime. So I would do baby. Right. I want to shoot myself. I want to go to a set to have a vacation because this is a nightmare. It is brutal work. And then the other thing I wanted to just say is about Shannon is that the one thing about Shannon is that she came here with no resources. She left Australia with no money. The money she had, she made in a soap opera. You did when you were 17, when you're in a soap. And you put that towards, she got into Juilliard, couldn't afford it, but you could pay for 1 year of CalArts and then had to win a scholarship every year to stay at CalArts and had no money to fly back to Australia over the holidays. Wow. So, I mean, so this is what you gave up everything with nothing. I mean, you came here with what you had in your pockets, essentially. So it was that much more, even more profound knowing what she'd given up to be a mom. It just made it that much more, I don't know. It's just more powerful that this sacrifice.
How did you feel about that? Nestor, did you have any guilt that like somehow because you had kids together, now she's given up her dream and you're being successful? Like, what was that? You know, I wonder what that dynamic is like.
I did feel guilty. I did. I mean, I know what it meant to Shannon. When we met, I remember Shannon was hyper-focused on acting. It was all about that. In fact, I felt like the relationship was sort of second fiddle to a certain extent. And then it shifted.
It was for years.
And I was more invested in, like, I wanted to settle down. Shannon was really on a track. And mind you, of course, as you know, as you both know, it is, unfortunately, in this business, it is much harder for women. That it's a shorter, you know, I guess, horrible to say the shelf life in a sense. But it is true. Less so nowadays. But back then, definitely.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. If you were like 35, it was like, oh, we're going to put you on pause for like 15 years. And then you can come back as like, you know, the powerful, you know, female grandmother lead or something. You know what I mean? Like,
it wasn't like Estelle Getty was like 45 when she played Sophia. No joke. On Golden Girls. They like dressed up. They're like, oh, you can do this. Like,
Exactly. There's that sweet spot of 15 years. You're right. Where, you know, there's not a lot of work. So I knew, I felt guilty. I felt horribly guilty and I completely empathized. I completely understood that. But yet Shannon, you're an amazing mom. And Shannon really is an amazing mom. And that
you're an amazing dad.
No, okay. Stop it some more.
All right. I'm not doing that.
No,
No, oh my God, you two are so cute. I love this. Keep complimenting each other. It's adorable.
No, but it's,
we're both divorced. It didn't work out for us. Like,
yeah, really.
But I knew what it meant to Shannon. I knew exactly what it meant. And then when you wrote this book, we were in Hawaii. This is the last season of Lost. I've been flying back and forth. And mind you, add this to the mix. I was flying back and forth to Hawaii, no less, for 3 years, going there, staying in a hotel while Shannon's playing baby cats here, you know, about to shoot herself, you know, while I'm ready to do this character on Lost, you know, as a recurring. I was made a regular the last two seasons. And the last season, the producer said, you might want to move to Hawaii, which is great. We all moved. That seemed to energize you emotionally. You're like, my God, this is just a shift.
Fresh start. Something new.
Yeah. Exactly. But then it all kind of, and that's what the book delves into. It all kind of came crashing down, much like that plane did on that island. I mean, you kind of came crashing down. And then all of it came to a head, all those emotions. And then you started putting pen to paper, you know, and that's what this book is about. Really.
Yeah. It's like, you know what it is? It's when you have a shift in location and you look back.
Mm-hmm.
On life, yeah. And you really start seeing everything.
Yeah.
And there was also some big family conflict that happened when we were in Hawaii. And
I was going to ask, because you say that a little bit about in your, you know, synopsis of the book. Are you allowed to disclose that to us? Or
yeah, it was that it was revealed to me, like, very, very clearly how much my career had meant to some other people in my life. I realized that, I may have really disappointed other people.
Wow. Like, wow. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was like heart open again. And then I really felt extremely lost in this place where we didn't know anybody.
Right.
And that was really rough. And I actually had thought, I'm going to go to Hawaii. I'm going to be sort of monk-like and I'm going to figure out this problem.
Right.
Figure it out. And the opposite happened. It was kind of amazing. It was very hard at first. And then you can't help but be there. And people are just different there. Nobody flips you off in the car. Right.
Yeah.
Lower. You're on island time. You're, you know, it's, it's different.
I remember before I really knew anybody, I was driving with my, riding my bike with my older son. And his chain fell off the bike. And I was like, we're trying to get it on. And we're like, we're just going to have to try and carry it home. Car pulls up. An older man, all dressed in white. And it had the Kaneohe Boat Club. I knew he was going to go to drinks with his friends.
Right.
Got that chain, got covered in oil for us. Fixed my son's bike chain. And was so sweet. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, nothing. No problem. You know, he's talking to me. Hawaii. And then went off. I don't know whether he went to change or he just went. And it just struck me that I'm not in LA anymore. And it was sort of like, it was like a big opening where I thought I was going to close. Mm-hmm. And then, from my son's classes at school, and they took me on adventures as I got to know them. And a lot of them were military wives, and you don't stay in Hawaii that long. So everybody had been getting to know Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me to places that only locals would know. And some of them were just fun and adventuresome, and some of them were really sacred. And just little things started happening to me that were like very incidental. Like, you know, people at the grocery store would do something, and I'd journal every night. And then I'd realize something that this person did was a big key for me. Mm-hmm. I forgot that. And then something very sacred would happen, and it would open me up to, you haven't done that in years. You need to check that out again.
Yeah.
And literally piece by piece, I'm writing this journal and I start to feel a little better. There were setbacks. And then it just all became bigger and bigger and bigger. and I became a little less lost gradually. Mm-hmm. Almost without me knowing it at times, and then really knowing it. There was a big tsunami warning while we were in Hawaii. And and it was this very strange time. And of course, Nestor's always away for the big things. It's just like Mr. Magoo. He like travels and disasters behind him.
Right.
He's in LA. And the outreach of, and we were living right on the beach, which was also something that changes you.
Yeah.
Just near water is very.
Yep.
Some people need water. And
Yeah. My boyfriend is one of those types. He grew up around the water. He lived in Hawaii for a while. And I find it even more now too, just nature in general. But there is the ocean is, you know, there's something incredibly powerful and serene and graceful and scary. And, you know, it's just this big, it's so big.
Yes.
Well, it reminds you that like, and everything keeps rolling. I grew up on a beach as well. I grew up in Connecticut. So I grew up on the Long Island Sound and in Westport. And like, that's where we go. Like we just go. And, you know, whenever I feel kind of like I need to be sort of feel grounded, then I drive out and I'll just
sit stick your feet in the water.
Yeah, stick your feet in the water, sit on the beach, stare at the ocean. I think it's because it's also like constant motion, constant rebirth, constant change.
Hey, Jody, do you want to talk about something that I love a lot that sometimes we talk about anyway?
I don't know what that could be. It could either be incredibly helpful or it might be a little bit risque. What are we talking here?
Well, it's funny that you say helpful because what I wanted to talk about was or is BetterHelp.
Because,
you know,
yes.
BetterHelp is an amazing, amazing thing to have in your life. Because if there is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, then BetterHelp can assist you with your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
It's such a great thing. I mean, not only during the pandemic, but just, I mean, everybody needs, I am a strong believer that everyone needs therapy. And if you can have therapy in your pocket, even better.
Absolutely. And it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling that's done securely online. And you can start communicating with the therapist in under 48 hours.
Which is, that is so great because finding one through your insurance company sometimes and like calling people. I mean, you and I both know I've spent days doing that.
Oh yeah, me too. It's that can be very, very daunting. And this service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like you do with traditional therapy. And right now, specifically, that feels much safer.
Yeah.
BetterHelp is also committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So, you know, they make it really easy and free to change counselors if needed. Plus, it is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available with BetterHelp, which is just amazing. That doesn't exist anywhere else.
No, it doesn't.
Well, BetterHelp really wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit their website and, you know, read some testimonials that are posted daily about what an amazing service this is. And then you just go to betterhelp.com/say this. That's better H-E-L-P and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they have been recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So if you're a therapist, you can apply and start working for BetterHelp.
Fantastic. And this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And never thought I'd say this. Listeners are going to get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's 10% off for our listeners off of their first month at betterhelp.com/say this.
I don't know what you're waiting for. Just do it now.
there is a therapy that it's some sort of psychological thing that a lot of people need water. Mm-hmm. They need, and I'm definitely a water person.
Yeah. And my aunt and uncle called the ocean their therapist. They would go down and like, I need to go see my therapist. And they'd go and just take long walks on the beach together.
Yeah.
Sometimes silently, sometimes talking, and it heals. It really does.
You're trying to get my clients to dump me and do that because, you know, we could maybe. talking to me, not the ocean.
Well, the ocean doesn't talk back.
You have a little wave machine in your office.
Yeah, exactly. We should do that, actually. That'd be
I did the same thing. I walked every day, but it's so weird to me because it's 5 hours closer to Australia, too. And I always pictured it as, well, it really is. It's like you look out and Australia is like just 10 hours over there. So a lot of that, I felt like, it's just over there. And a lot of stuff, I grew up around surfers and there was a big surfing competition on. And I felt like I sort of stepped back for a little bit into these years that I remembered very well, which was 16, 17. And I was like, why do I want to keep going back there? And I realized why. It was a time when I wasn't really that interested in being an actor. All I wanted to do was meet boys, you know, and love and fall in love. And it was, they were really funny days and fun days, but it was really pure. And I was gradually finding myself without all that shit I'd put on myself.
The noise.
I just wanted what my body wanted.
Yeah. You just summed up, I think, motherhood for so many people. I mean, your experience is amazingly unique and then also amazingly universal. Honestly, like I feel like we've talked, Jodi and I've talked about this 1,000 times on the show privately. Like you do get so lost in it and you can't, and it's so weird that you said going back to being 16, because when I started realizing like, my marriage isn't working. I kept thinking, I just want to get back to who I was when I was 16. Something changed in me when I was 16 after that. And I think it was kind of because of boys, honestly, not acting necessarily. And I gave up so much of who I was piece by piece by piece by piece until finally kids. And then I was like, who the fuck am I now? I don't even know.
Right.
Weird. You know, and I think a lot of women go through that. And Nestor, like, was that a journey as you watched her take it, like before kids and then through kids and then finding her way back? Was that like, did you have to sit on your hands? Were there ever times that you were like, you're still you? Like, did you want to like, shake her, you know?
You know, the one thing about Shannon, which I loved when we met, is that she, as you know, as you can see from the internet, she's an open book. Shannon will.
Yeah.
So, and I think. No. I mean, I'd never dated someone like Shannon who was so open and where like everything came out of her mouth and uncensored, and which would, you know, lead to conflict, but at least the truth in a sense was always out there. Right. So I always knew what I was dealing with. I always knew, even when she was feeling this pain, it would come out during the day and we would talk about it. So, I mean, I was fully aware of it. I mean, we talked about it a lot. I did try and sort of reason with you, but it's not something you can reason away.
It's a growth experience that you have to go, like you have to process this shit on your own. And, you know, I think I think it takes us a long time to really figure out who we are. I mean, I'm 39 years old and I feel like I'm kind of just now, like in my late 30s being like, oh, this is me. Oh, I kind of like this person. This person's kind of cool. And it's such a weird shedding process and like growing and so deeply personal. And yet I always say like, growth doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen in an empty space where you're only working on yourself. It comes from, like you said, the people you interact with, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's your husband, whether it's your kids or your friends, like all of these people are keys into this little bit of growth. And and when you're in that space of like really being aware of what sort of the universe is presenting to you and who is being presented to you, and you're like, oh, okay. And it's a beautiful process by the end of it, but in the middle of it, it feels really, really hard.
I like how she just made us all aware that she's not even 40 yet, by the way.
She looks so good.
You know, she's like 30 now. I'm just going to give her shit until she turns 40 because I'm way past there. So I just, you know, I knew what you were doing. That was just for me, reminding me that you're 39 and I'm not. Fuck you. How do you like that?
All about you, Celia. That's why I always like, come into the show. I'm like, how can I make her feel bad today? And I did it. So now I'll check
I think you do sometimes. I think you do. That's it.
But I do feel like I am really loving this age because I feel like even from the outside with what's going on, like, I feel like you do really know who you are. Like, even though everything's like, I was actually talking to my therapist today and I was like, oh, because I was waiting for
right?
All they need to do is go like this and this. It can't be that hard.
A little
right. Like, can I just, if I pull out my face back, like,
wait, hold on. Cause I'm still, I've been looking at the two of you for now, what, like 40 minutes or something. And first of all, you are still a MILF and any, you know, 17-year-old boy is not looking at you is blind. And Nestor, are you the character that you played in Lost? Cause you don't, you haven't aged at all.
No, we've invested in a diva life right now. So you're seeing us through the, yeah, through a lot of smoke and mirrors. No, you're very
good. Yeah, that's a load of shit. Just saying.
No, we did a bunch of Zooms and I'm like, why do we look so awful and everybody looks so great? And then my girlfriend said, have you done the Zoom like filter?
What? Like, there's what? A filter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a filter on. I think I have it on too. Yeah, for sure.
You do? I don't know.
I never knew about this filter. And then I turned it on. I'm like, bing.
It's it's like a little, just little bit, you know.
I play with it now, but I disconnect myself, that, which, you know, maybe is for the best, but I'm not.
I will look at it. You actually look great, but there is a filter.
This, especially the cold sore, right? It's really, I know.
It's shiny right now. Can we get a diva light just for the cold sore?
I think so. We should get it a microphone. Maybe it's got stuff to say. I'll name it later.
Yeah. Right. Jody, you do seem very, I have to say, you seem very grounded to me and very secure in yourself for 39.
I am now, but it, you know, it came about through 3 divorces, you know, a crazy ex, you know, stalking you for a couple years,
that was
like getting sober several times, going to rehab, you know, it was hard earned. I'm not just some person that's like, I just magically knew myself. No, I made like every mistake possible repeatedly, but I'd say in doing that, like I hit, you know, it was funny because what you were talking about, so much of what you were talking about in the journaling and the writing is, you know, we talk about in recovery, which is like putting pen to paper, being rigorously honest and hitting those. Sometimes you have to hit an emotional bottom where you're like, oh,
yeah,
I just like this is I feel empty in the pit of my soul and I don't know what to do. And, you know, I think people have a choice. They either grow through that or they stick in that and they resent it and they just get really unhappy. And, cause you know, nobody wants to write down things and be very honest and be, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's like this whole process you've been talking about, growth is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think it's also so beautiful and wonderful to watch people grow and to look back and be like, oh wow. You know, I used to be worried about this. Like and I think women in particular, like in their late 30s, that's kind of when you start going like, oh, I don't need this attention anymore. Like, it's nice. Sure, I like to look good. But like, there's something different and more powerful about me now. Like I'm, you know, and I think that happens for a lot of women. And it's amazing to watch. And I think you have, I mean, from the, you know, 40 minutes I've seen you, an amazing partner in Nestor, and you guys seem like such a great team.
Yeah, which is
that huge. Really listens and supports, and like, because this shit is not easy at all, and it shatters a lot of relationships. And it seems like you guys really like dug in and got through.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
No. Yeah, we weren't going to let it shatter us.
No,
I wasn't. Yeah.
No,
a lot of people do. I mean, that's the thing. People joke, you know, my sister and I used to joke all the time where it's like, you know, when we'd go through divorce, we each went through a divorce and, you know, our kids would be like, is it because of us? And we would be like, no. And then to each other, we'd be like, a little, like, you know, like, you know, not that, kinda. Like
40%.
Well, you know, I always say parenting's hard because
I mean,
because you've got two people with like very specific ideas of how this is supposed to look and how do you make those two form together? And I just think you guys have done a beautiful job. And I, Shannon, I love how honest you were in this book and how you really just, you laid it all out there. You know, that Celia and I started doing this podcast because we were like, I don't want to hear like mom hacks on how to cut grapes and shit. I want to hear, you know, like, whatever, like, oh, my kid's got a star-shaped sandwich. Fuck you. My kid's eating lunch. You know what I mean? Like, never. I forgot to pack them a lunch. Oops. They're, you know, and I think they owe money at the cafeteria. Whatever. Like, it, you know, but talking about that stuff and being like, this is just, like, sometimes we're just holding it all together by duct tape and sheer luck, you know? And that's okay. And that's, like, really beautiful to talk about and to admit. So I have so much admiration for how you approached this journey and writing about it and like what an amazing partner Nestor has been and so successful in your own career and yet still having this team and partnership together. Like it's really admirable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nestor, were you worried about her writing this book, by the way? And like, did you guys talk, and Shannon, did you talk about like, I'm going to tell everybody everything about us. Like,
or is there a character named like Schmester that like, like Schmester, not to be confused with Nestor, was a real dick on this day or so. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And listen, there's always that little thing like what, you know, I mean, yeah, it's going to come out. But the one thing I've learned, it's interesting when Shannon and I used to go out in the beginning, go out to dinner parties with people, you know, we'd get into a little bit of a thing, a disagreement, and then we'd be quiet about it. And then we'd have a huge fight and we'd be up all night trying to resolve the disagreement. So then we learned that why don't we just have it out at the dinner party in front of everyone?
Safe. Yeah, make that shit exciting.
Yeah, it makes it more, yeah, we cleared tables. We've wrecked dinner parties. But by the time we get in the car, everything's great. We're like, we're good.
Right. I mean, so, really, fuck everybody else at the dinner party.
I know.
Like they don't fight, then fuck them.
That's the thing is like, you know, it's not, there's no pretense about it. I love that.
So I've learned from Shannon to forget about pretense, to forget about all that stuff, whether it's in front of friends or whatever. So the book was just an extension of what we've been living in the last 15, 20 years.
There was not much, I mean, you, not much bad to say about you.
No,
everybody calls him perfect, Nestor, even his mother.
No, so Shannon hooked me up. I you know, I mean, but there's, you know, there's stuff you're revealing about. Really, I mean, Shannon, as you know, Jody, having read it, she beats up on herself more than she does anybody. I mean, it's, there's no question.
We are the meanest to ourselves because nobody can hear what I say in here. So it gets real dark.
Yeah.
Real. The fact that you actually even outed that is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that you beat yourself up.
Yeah. You know what it is when you're writing, you can hear when your voice is very easy. Like when you're acting, you don't quite know if it's fake. I mean, you can feel it, but when you're writing and you're looking, it's like,
yeah, oh, you're like, that's not, yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah, right.
So when you rewrite it, you're like, okay, let's go a little deeper. What am I really trying to say? Why does that feel? Oh yeah, because you're lying. You're lying. Right.
Well, I think that's one of the most powerful things. And you know, again, in recovery, that's what we talk about. It's like, it's different when you're saying you can talk a good game, but like put pen to paper and write it down and look at it, and guaranteed you're going to be like, that's bullshit. That's not true. I'm lying because I'm afraid somebody else is going to see this. But what do I really feel?
Right.
And it's powerful. It's really powerful to see sort of that filter that you put up for everyone else. And then to be like, oh, I gotta go deeper. I gotta go realer. I gotta go more honest.
Right. It's so true what you say about journaling, because I don't journal right now. But I was journaling because we were in Hawaii. Everyone journals too when I left, all my girlfriends. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna journal. Now I don't do it. We all should be doing it, right?
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't do it either. I know it's super helpful, but that's probably why I don't do it. I'm like, oh, that would be great. I'd really, we're not doing that. Enough growth of this.
Have your kids read it? And if not, will they? And do they have any opinion?
I don't know if they will now. I've tried to read them chapters, but you know, the ironic thing, we were talking about kids too. You know, the delayed gratification, it's delayed gratification with kids, right? It's like, you don't.
Right. Sometime at 30, it might be okay.
Yeah. I'm like, you tell us. We don't know. We're still trying to.
Well, you know, that's one thing I can tell you. Our kid is off in college, and we're finally getting some gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Finally seeing him like, oh,
right.
Yes.
Right. We didn't fuck it up too bad.
And we fucked it up plenty. I mean,
right. Everyone does.
Everyone does. But there was a couple of things, like we wanted to be good and kind, and he's pretty much that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he can be a bit of an asshole sometimes. Yeah. But
I mean, who isn't?
But he's kind.
Yeah. But yeah, who isn't? I mean,
look, I tell my kids, I go, look, my main job here is to just not raise assholes. Like, that's what I'm trying to do, is just teach you how to be a good human, how to care about others, stand up for others, and stand up for yourself.
No.
And like, the rest of the stuff, you can figure out later. But those are the important things, like how to have your own voice and how to be a voice for others who maybe don't have it, and how to like get through life and be kind and make it better. I always tell them, like, can just, if you can't, you know, this is a quote I always love, is like, if you can't make it better, just don't make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't, you get into a situation and you just can't improve it, like, just don't make it worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to leave things better than you found them, you know?
That's right. They say you do 50% less damage than your parents did to you. That's all you can hope for.
Oh my God, I'm already winning. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, someone give me an award. My mom is insane. Yeah, no, I win already.
Well, Shannon, Nestor, we have just started a tradition on this show, which I'm so proud that you remembered, Celia, because we started this tradition. We did it once and then we forgot it. But we've been doing it the last few weeks, and it is a game called The And. And it started, it's actually, we're not like promoting it or anything or selling it, but it was something that I had gotten for my boyfriend and I. It's there's all different versions. There's ones for parents and children. There's ones for dating. There's ones for long-term relationships, all this stuff. And it's basically asking really honest questions of each other. And so Celia and I started doing it because it's things that you never would think of or bring up. Like, there's some things where it's like, when's the last time I disappointed you? Or when's the last time I surprised you? Or when, you know, things that like don't just come up in conversation. So anyway, we would love to have you guys play this game with us if you're willing.
We'll go first if you want, because we don't want to put you on the spot. So you'll know.
You'll know how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say this because I say it every time because it's hilarious. Because when I first did it, because I got it from my boyfriend after she had gotten it for hers, and you're supposed to relax and look at each other in the eyes for like 15 seconds. And my boyfriend already was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then I read that and was like, oh my God, never mind. Then he was like, oh no, we're doing it now. Like, yeah. Look at me. And I was like,
look at me. No, right.
I have the worst. Oh my God. I just looked at the question and now I don't want to do this game anymore. Jody, do your best impression of me.
oh my god
shit,
well, I gotta do this.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of like, oh fuck. Like a lot, that's what I feel like, a lot of that, but like hair twisting and just like, but like with a slight, I can't do your like slight New York accent because it's not really harsh, but it's, there's definitely a nah to it. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm Jewish, so that just comes now. That's, you're born with that. There's no.
Right. And I mean, I'm not, I don't want to like overdo it and be accused.
And offend me somehow. Yeah, that would happen.
I'm not worried about offending you. There are people that, the seven people that listen to this show, I'm worried about offending them. No.
Me playing with my hair.
But playing with your hair, because you're constantly twirling your hair. Like, I don't know how that strand is not like pulled off. You know what I mean?
Because I alternate so that I have, you know, I don't concentrate on just one strand. It's all of it. That's all. It's all because of the Ramona and Beezus books, by the way, because there was a girl that twirled her hair in there and she had curly hair and I always hated my curly hair. But then I was like, ooh, that sounds fun. Maybe I'll like my curly hair if I do that.
An anxiety thing for you. I'm just going to say it. Like, maybe it started with that, but like,
I'm always anxious. You know what it actually is? It's tactile. I like how it feels.
Yeah.
It's a tactile thing. I mean, everything else in my life is an anxiety thing. So you don't need to make that one. Everything I do is fucking anxiety fueled.
Okay.
All right. What's my impression of you? Shit. Okay. Anytime we FaceTime.
I swear to God, if you do How Rude, I'm going to lose it.
Oh my God. I would never. Ever.
Although now I want to. No. Every time we FaceTime, this is how I pick up the phone. And I'm like, hi, and this is you. Every time. Hand half over her face like a mask.
Well, yeah, we have to describe it because people can't see this.
So, so my hand is half over my face like I'm Phantom of the fucking Opera. She like stares at me and she won't even say anything. She's just like, she'll just go, dude.
Dude. Yeah, that's how, yeah, that's how I start. It's because it's
dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you don't even know. That and when you get a little bit, how do I put this? Aggressive with other drivers or anyone who may or may not have stolen a parking spot, all of a sudden,
yeah, I don't do well in parking lots.
You get like, you get street Jody, I like to call her. Well, she'll just be like, oh, we got a problem. Like where you're like, oh my God.
I'm like, and now we got to get out of the fucking car. And now we, right. Yeah.
That's like, I'll get out of the car and you know, you're going to get out of the car. And then one of us is not getting back in our car. Like, yeah, you don't mess with street Jody. She'll kill.
Yeah, she does come out and she gets a little testy sometimes.
I mean, I like street Jody on my side. I don't want to be on the other end.
All right, now, I'm really excited though.
Me too.
Shannon and Nestor's impressions of each other. This is the perfect question for couples.
Now they can have a fight and we can all hash it out right here.
Right.
And do it full. You've got to do it. So
I can't. No, I mean, just Shannon will just yell my name. She'll be like, Nestor, where are you, Nestor? She's getting more and more Australian as she gets older. And she's just like, and you're becoming more as we do, like our parents.
Oh, God. Right?
I'll say something silly. She's like, bullshit.
I am dying. My dad.
No, I know.
My dad doesn't think bullshit is a bad word. So he'll say it to anybody, like the lady serving him the cake. Here you go. It's 25. Bullshit.
It's not $25. Not right. It's $25. And also, bullshit seems to come out of his mouth. I know you've only said it a few times, so that's not. It's not
entirely much nicer.
You can come. You might give it to me.
Oh, God. There's so many.
Well, what turns you off most about?
That's the worst thing I do.
Oh, Rafa, you have to. When you have to say, don't. When you mention that you like the. What song was that? The sweater song.
Oh, okay. No, it's true. Shannon, I will get into this clipped voice that my dad is like from another century and he speaks like he's British from like the 18th century. So I'll get into this like clipped speech at first when I heard that you were coming here. And then I'll fall into that and it just drives. She's like, you're definitely not having sex tonight.
Yeah. No sex is going to be had. This is
right. I was wondering. Yes, maybe.
Not going to happen.
I got to do the other thing you did. I don't know if I can do it, but this is what I hear in the mornings when he's with Donna. I hear.
Is that talking to the dog?
The dog does sit between us and she is the apple of my eye. And she does get a lot of cuddles. She does. She gets a lot of affection, a lot of sweet affection. Yes, I know. Yes. Maybe
I get it. I have a cock blocking dog as well that gets right in the middle.
The biggest fights that my boyfriend and I have been about his dog because he's
really?
he is more.
Don't get Shannon. Or don't get Celia started on the boyfriend's dog. So it's really? A whole episode in itself.
Yeah, it has been an episode in itself.
So Celia, has the dog helped or hurt?
Hurt. No,
absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The dog goes there, doesn't it? Yeah, it's no, crazy.
Then we get into like where I'm like, you're nicer to the dog than you are to me. He's like, she's a dog. It's different.
Yeah, well, you know.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Now I'm going to say that in an Australian accent whenever.
I'm
in Australia, Shannon. Can I ask? I'm obsessed with Australia.
Oh, Sydney. Yeah. Sydney, did you ask where I'm from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sydney, do you know, have you, like the Northern Beaches area, like Palm Beach?
Yeah. I spent about a.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not going to say the whole story. Shut up. I've spent like 4 or 5 days there and I loved it. I was there.
Oh, that's amazing. Where did you go?
Now I have to.
This is why you love the word cunt.
So, no, yeah. That's such a great word. Love it. We try and see how many times we can use it on an episode before someone freaks out.
By the way, right now, Emily's having a fucking heart attack because she's like writing about hunt again.
We love it.
No, you speak for yourself. I've never said that word.
My youngest daughter, like hers is Carlin, is her middle name. My youngest daughter's middle name is Winfrey, because when Oprah took her audience that final season to Australia, I was in that audience. So I went with Oprah, and then I found out I was pregnant with my youngest daughter there and told my ex-husband that I was pregnant. I mean, he was my husband at the time, but I told him on her show. It aired on the show.
So I know exactly where you went.
So we were all, that's right. We were at the opera house. We went down to the beaches. We were all over. We got split into groups. We all started in Sydney for 2 days. Then we went to our different places. I went to Hamilton Island. Then we came back. Yeah, it was so nice. Then we came back to Sydney for about 4 days. And
you just cooked for you, right? By the show.
I love that Celia always fits in her Oprah story. You know what? Let's just start mentioning. I mean, we haven't mentioned Michelle Obama in a while, and I think we just need to mention her because we want her on the show.
And so Neil Patrick Harris.
Her and then tag her and all things.
She might.
Right? Neil Patrick Harris is another one. We used to mention him all the time, but I don't know. We were like, I think of, you know, a mention away from a cease and desist letter, maybe from.
I don't think Oprah will come on either with the C word flying.
Shannon, Nestor, I just want to say thank you guys so much for joining us. This was such a great, real, honest conversation. And if you want to tell people where they can get your book, where they can find you guys in social media or whatever.
Yay.
Book. It comes out March 16th. Very soon.
It's called All Is Not Lost.
All Is Not Lost. Amazon.
You can order it on Amazon.
Books. Yeah. Barnes & Noble. My website is shannonkennycarbonell.com.
Great.
.com.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
.com.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Idiot. And
bullshit.
Sorry. Bullshit.
Such a cut.
Yay! You did it.
All right. Amazon though, definitely. Yeah, March.
Fantastic.
Anywhere. Book. Oh, you know, I love it. So, if you're in Oregon, it's at Powell's Bookstore.
Powell's Bookstore in Portland.
It's so amazing. I'm a book nerd, so I love. Yeah, Powell's is fantastic. And Nestor, where can people find you on social media?
On social media, I'm on Instagram, just Nestor Carbonell at Instagram, or at Carbonell Nestor on Twitter as well. So
I think it's called at Nestor Carbonell.
Yeah,
that's Instagram.
At Instagram, yeah. So there, I know.
We'll follow you both from the podcast.
We will.
Your personal account, Jody, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jody Sweeten. And of course, you can find the podcast at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram. Facebook is Never Thought I'd Say This, but we never really talk about it.
Yeah,
I don't know. See, this is what happens. I just start talking about it and then I lose it.
Unbelievable. And I'm at the Celia Behar on Instagram and Twitter, although I don't know how to twat, so I don't. Where the hell? Oh, you can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. Send us your stories, your never thought eyes, parenting fails. Please no hate mail. We really do get enough of that. We're all good. We know we said a bunch. We apologize in advance.
Yes. But thank you guys so much for joining us. This was an amazing conversation and so much fun. And I just had such a great time with you guys. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
That was amazing. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids or your bullshit.
Bullshit.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audio Boom and Main Event Media.
We-
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.